Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop one more time. I'm Alan Chartok. If you've ever found yourself standing on a busy city street corner with one foot in the gutter and outstretched arm, you know the perils and victory that can be associated with travel by taxi. We've all heard the urban legends of the child born in the back of the cab, or the long-lost loves, rain-soaked reunion in the backseat of a yellow livery car. But today we want to hear your real-life taxi cab confessions, whether hopeful or harrowing. And by the way, if you're a cab driver, feel free to call in. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So there you go, folks. I want to hear from you. In fact, I have to hear from you. Here's why. I don't want to be sitting here telling my own taxicab stories again and again and again. I don't want to talk about how that time I lost my Stradivarius in the back seat of a taxicab and I never found it again. No, that's not true about me, but it is true about others. I can tell you that right now. So it's 1-800-348-2551. And then there's the question of rudeness. Or there's the question of, hey, wait a second now. I got in a cab the other day in New York, and the cab driver was very nice to me. He said, which way would you like to go? I was going to Grand Central from the west side of Manhattan, and he said, which way would you like to go? I said, well, go through the park at 96th and then go down Fifth Avenue. I think that's the best way to do it. And so he did, because I know that if you're in New York City, there is one vortex, there is one dark hole from which you never ever recover, and that's 59th Street and Central Park, where Central Park and Broadway come together at Columbus Circle. So we've got two people on the phone right now, and there's three, there's four. Oh my goodness, we're saved. I'm SAVED. I am 1-800-348-2551, and we go to William in Pauling, New York. Okay, William, you're on.
It's Warren, actually.
A Warren. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I was a cab driver in Brooklyn.
Great.
And I got a call to go pick up a doctor who's got to go to Kings Highway Hospital. And this is absolutely in the worst possible dead of storm, snowstorm.
Wow.
And I pick him up, and I'm crawling the whole way. And he is pissed off, and he wants me there right away. He's got to get to the emergency room, and he is very, very annoyed that I'm driving slowly. And if you've never been to Kings Highway Hospital, it's an old New York City hospital with archways and stonework.
Right.
And I get there, and I pull up in front of the entranceway to the emergency room, and I look straight up, and there's an enormous incline. It's all snow and ice covered, with all the ambulances and police cars with their lights flashing, all parked along the way. So it's a narrow pathway all the way up to the top where the entrance is. And I'm ready to let him out there, and he's like, oh no, you got to get me to the door. And so I start, and I drive carefully up this slippery slope, up the cobblestones, and I get him to the front door. And I'm still dressed for my truant officer outfit during the day, my day job. And so I'm wearing leather shoes and a nice shirt. And I get him out, and I get a whopping dollar tip for taking him all the way from his house up to Kings Highway Hospital. And I realize that, yeah, I'm going to have to turn this thing and back it down. And I'm looking in the rear view, and all I see are these police cars and ambulances just parked, you know, with their tails sticking out into this narrow passageway. And I figure, oh, I can't do this. It's just, I'm going to hit something. So I look out in front of me, and all I see is a clear, open pathway. There's just nothing but snow in front. And I figure if I go out and I just turn around,
yeah,
it's not going to be a problem. And I give it the gas, and I fall off, and I'm now out on the front lawn of Kings Highway Hospital. There was no way to know that the road had ended, yeah, and I was now down on a foot into the snow, and I'm spinning this thing, and I turn this thing around, and it is not going. And I got to get it back up over this ledge and onto the cobblestone again. And so I figured, I'm a young driver. I'm stupid. I throw it into drive, and I get out of the car. So now the real wheels are spinning, and I'm pushing from the side of the car.
Oh, brother.
And I'm pushing, and the shoes are leather or sole shoes, and I'm slipping in the snow, and my lungs are burning. And this thing decides to catch. And it catches and takes off, and the door closes, and I'm standing outside.
Oh, my God.
And this thing goes up over the curb, and I'm running like a lunatic in the snow. And I'm seeing my taxi cab go up onto the cobblestone.
Oh, no.
And just as it gets to the archway of the entrance, I jump inside, hit it, and I slam into the archway.
Wow.
And I just narrowly avoided going into all those cars, and I was just, you know, I'm cursing the entire way back.
You got a ticket?
No, I got in, and I threw the keys at the dispatcher and some choice words, and that was the end. That was my end of my cab driving day.
Interesting. Let me ask you a question, because you raised something, Warren, and we got a lot of people on the line, but I wanted to ask you, what is the proper amount to tip a taxi cab driver?
Well, I mean, it all depended upon, you know,
on a normal situation, my wife is a believer in the same thing you do in a restaurant, 20%. Does that sound right to you?
I would say 20% is fair. It is always fair. I mean, you know, these people are working ridiculous hours in filthy cabs, you know, with brakes that don't work and heat that doesn't work.
Yep.
And, you know, it's they're there in the crappiest weather to get you where you have to go. And it's only fair that you supplement their income a little bit.
Warren, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome.
Terrific.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to John in Chicama. Where are you, John?
In Chicopee.
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Chicopee, Mass.
Chicopee, yeah. Well, don't worry. We have a terrific screener, and he's a good speller. It's my fault. Go ahead.
Okay. He wrote Chick Mass. I was a cab driver for 12 years in Springfield and Chicopee and all that, the Pioneer Valley. And I got to say that this is a great place to drive a cab, because this is essentially a small town area. I mean, there's maybe a couple hundred cabs and everything.
Yep.
But the people are all nice. I guess once in a while you run into a jerk, but I never did.
Well, that's good. What else you got to say?
I'm going to say that most people who take taxis take them because they need to.
That's right.
And so they're pretty well behaved.
Yep.
You know.
Do you ever have a customer from hell?
No.
Wow.
I mean, if I did, I reminded him that I had people run away without paying.
Wow.
But I chased a couple of them into ghettos, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the ghetto, I realized my mistake.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I went back to the cab.
Well, John, thank you for the
call. It's a good job.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do it. Thank you for your call, John. Appreciate it.
Okay, Alan.
Okay, let's go to Lisa in Kingston. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Way back about 30 years ago, I was living in Manhattan.
Right.
22nd and 2nd, and I was going to a party up in 80th and 2nd, so I decided to go over to 23rd.
Yep.
And 2nd, and, excuse me, 2nd goes down, 23rd and 1st.
Yep.
To get a cab uptown.
Yep.
And I was standing there only maybe 5 minutes, got a cab, hailed the guy. As I was getting in to the cab, we saw something out of the corner of our eyes. Where I was just standing 2 minutes before, a guy comes running like bat out of hell, and right behind him is a cop. And right where I was standing, he grabs the guy, gets him down on the ground with his gun at the guy's head. And it freaked me out so much and freaked out my cab driver so much, he forgot to turn the meter on till 55th Street.
Wow. So did he give you the break?
He sure did, and I gave him an extra tip.
That's great. Hey, Lisa, thanks for the call. Appreciate it
it's
very
Lisa,
much.
It's Lisa, and
Lisa,
thank
I'm
you,
so
Alan.
Sorry.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We got 3 free phones. We got Sandy waiting to talk to us, and Rick, we're going to take a short break. I mean, seconds. Sandy and Rick, don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's Support for WAMC comes from Washington County Tourism, featuring outdoor spring recreational activities, including fly fishing, artistic events, venues, and museums, WashingtonNYCounty.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art, Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Chester Wood, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the summer home and studio of Daniel Chester French, sculptor of Abraham Lincoln for the Lincoln Memorial, chesterwood.org. The Alternative Baker, Rosendale, artisan all-butter baked goods made from scratch, handcrafted lemon velvet cakes, and egg sandwiches daily, where taste is everything, lemoncakes.com. And Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, offering bachelor's and master's degrees in business, education, and nursing, transfer admissions event for college-age students and adults with college credits, May 22nd, msmc.edu.
And here we are, back on the Vox Pop. Today we're talking taxicabs. Let's go to Sandy in Saugerties. Sandy, you're on.
Oh, hi. Alan?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I think I had Lisa in my cab. Anyway, two things. First of all, I was one of the last drivers to drive a Checker cab in Manhattan way back in the 70s. And
I remember them well.
Oh, great cabs.
Big cabs, yeah.
Big cabs. Anyway, I'll preface this by saying one thing. People get in the cab, immediately the driver becomes invisible. They'll say and do anything they please and paying absolutely no attention to the driver.
Is this a good or bad thing?
This is, well, it could be very funny and it could be horrific.
Yeah.
One couple jumped into my cab.
Now be careful, this is radio and we don't want to lose our license here.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
This couple jumped into the cab. From the get, they started to fight and scream and holler at each other.
Wow.
They took a second to tell me where they wanted to go, though. And the whole ride was screaming and hollering and carrying on. When we got to the final destination, she obviously takes off this ring.
Uh-oh.
And flings it into the front seat of the cab.
Sounds like a country song.
I mean, and the guy remained in the cab, and obviously there was a big breakup in the back of my cab.
Wow.
So I, you know, pulled over, found the ring, gave him back the ring, and he got out of the cab. That was the end of that.
Wow. Yeah.
That's my story.
Hey, Sandy, it's a great story, and we thank you for calling.
All right.
Appreciate it. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Come on, tell us your cab stories. Let's go to Rick in Middletown. Rick in Middletown, you're on.
Hiya, Alan.
Hey.
Yeah, I drove a cab about 30 years ago.
By the way, I want to make it clear. I'm delighted you're calling. But you don't have to be a cab driver to participate today. You can be somebody who is in the back of the cab, too. Okay, Rick, go ahead.
I drove the 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. shift, the overnight shift.
Wow.
For 4 years in New York City.
Wow.
And I can tell you I got a basket full of stories, but my favorite story is I'm in the car right now with a lady that I met 30 years ago in my taxi cab. I was outside of a line in Danceteria, and a young woman hopped into my cab, asked to me to take her down to the Staten Island Ferry. And
I gotta get this straight. So you had somebody with you in the cab, and she
Okay. She was a passenger.
Okay,
she had come from the club.
Okay, gotcha.
And we took the ride down to the Staten Island Ferry.
Right.
And that woman, a year later, became my wife.
Well, now how did that proceed from passenger to wife? I mean, how did
It was a conversation.
You had a conversation.
It was a missed ferry. She had time to wait. You know, it was something of a seedy area.
And what did she say?
And I said,
well, I mean, what was the conversation like?
She was a young art student at SVA.
Yep.
And photographer.
Yep.
Yes. And she told me she said I had an interesting face.
And what went on? And what happened? And then a year later, you were married. But what did you do after you were a cab driver?
I went into construction, and I later became a building engineer at the World Trade Center.
Wow. And were you there on, you know what?
I was.
Tell me about it.
Well, I was injured when the first plane came in.
And you were where? In one of the buildings?
Yes, I was in Tower 1, first tower to get hit.
Wow. And what floor were you on?
7.
And you ran down the stairs?
Actually, I was carried down the stairs.
Oh, boy.
But as things have it, I'm also one of the few people that are in charge of the fire suppression systems. So I had to go back in and get the fire pumps turned on.
Whoa.
And as I did, Tower 2 collapsed, and I got caught in the collapse.
And you're okay now?
Just fine.
Well, Rick, thank you. Thank you for the story. Thank you for both stories. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
All right, Alan. Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to Nikki in Albany. Nikki. Oh, is it Vicky or Vicky? Nikki. No, it's Nikki. Nikki.
It's Nikki.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a cab in New York City, driving down the street when all of the, remember the Mooney weddings?
A lot of people. Yeah.
Well, I just happened to be driving by when, I don't even know how many, it seemed like it was hundreds of couples dressed in their wedding regalia came out. And this cab driver and I just looked at each other and we pulled over and just sat there and watched it. I mean, I wish I had my iPhone back then so I could have gotten some photographs.
Was the meter still running?
No, he turned it off.
He turned it off. Yeah. Well, what'd you learn from all of that?
Well, you just have to keep your eyes open. That's basically it. Or you're going to miss the things that go right by. Look up from your iPhone, because if you don't, life will pass you by.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. One free phone. Let's go to Jim in Monroe. Jim in Monroe, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hey.
I got two stories. I used to drive part-time at night up there in Monroe.
Yeah.
And you would see all kinds of people, especially late at night, being in places they shouldn't be. And it would really change your mind about how people are.
Well, give us a definition of being in a place you shouldn't be.
Well, it's like they have a place up here where they have a Korean monks where, it's like a monastery. And they are very, very, you would never believe that they would want to go into stores and rent the kind of movies that they rented.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
Proceeding from there, Jim, now what do you got to say?
Well, the worst one is I got robbed once, and it's always drunks.
What was that like?
Druggies.
Did he have a gun?
No, a big banana knife. I don't know if you remember them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And but the guy was so drunk, he whipped it out and said to me, he says, I want your money. And I just took his head and punched it into the windshield.
Whoa.
And he was out, and so I went in his wallet, took my $46 out for the fare, a $10 tip, and pushed him out off the sidewalk there in the snow there, because there was a lot of snow. It was wintertime.
Yeah, yeah.
And called the dispatcher and told him who it was, because he was a locally known idiot, you know?
Really?
And, people don't change. He just got out of prison for burning a place down. It was somebody you had to really watch, though, you know?
Right. So what did the dispatcher say?
They just wrote it off that we never picked him up.
Wow.
And when I called this guy's mother up and told him, he's sitting outside, and she says, well, let him sit outside.
Whoa, what a mom. Hey, Jim, thank you for calling. Great story.
You got it.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Opens up one free phone. Let's go to Frisco in New Paltz. Frisco,
hey,
you're on.
Alan, Jim had some pretty good stories, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, my dad was a cab driver, my father in New York, and he would always tell us about celebrities he got in the taxi. One time he got Kirk Douglas in the cab. Now, you remember Kirk Douglas
Indeed.
Back in the 60s and 70s,
yep.
Right? Big, husky guy. You know, always look, you think of Roman warriors, gladiators when you think of him. So he had him in the cab, and he took him for a short ride somewhere. It was a $2 or $3 fare. And so Kirk Douglas gives him a 10-cent tip. So he said to Kirk Douglas, he says, here, take it back. He says, you need it more than me. So Kirk Douglas looked at it incredulously that he would speak to Kirk Douglas like this, and he said, you get out of this cab, I'm going to kick your blank. So my father looks at him and said, yeah, that will look pretty good in the newspaper tomorrow. Kirk Douglas beats up cab driver. Well, maybe it'll say cab driver beats up Kirk Douglas. And then with that, he gave him a dollar back. I think he gave him the whole fare back, actually.
Wow.
And told him, please. So that's my story.
Well, thank you. You know, it's always interesting about these stories. They're fascinating. And, you believe what you want to believe. Obviously, that's the kind of stuff that happens. Yeah.
You ain't kidding. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah. Bye. Let's go to Jordy in Albany. Jordy, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
Back in 98 or 99, I was down in New York City. I'd been contracted by the Office of Mental Health to work on a team. We were going into children's mental health facilities and basically doing a sort of an audit of the records on how children are being treated in these facilities. It was about a week that I was in New York going to these facilities. It was very stressful. Obviously, the stuff that I saw was really demoralizing, a lot of it. And I was staying at the time, it was a brand new Marriott in Brooklyn. And I needed to get to Penn Station. So I have all my luggage with me. And I have, at the time, I had a document bag that had in it all of my handwritten data. This is before laptops and everything. So I had all this handwritten data in a document bag. And the cab driver drives me all the way from Brooklyn to Penn Station. I get out, I tip, and I had about an hour or so to wait for my train. And I realize I don't have the document bag.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking all sorts of things, ranging from at the very least I'm going to be fired. So I decided I just was, you know, a wreck, and I thought, well, I'll just sit outside for a minute, have a cigarette with my luggage. But a half an hour later, this cab driver comes back to Penn Station, parks his cab, and is looking for me, finds me, and gives me the document bag.
Mm.
And I was just amazed. It was just the antithesis of everything that I had heard about New York City cab drivers. And, of course, I gave him an extra tip, and he didn't even want to take it. But it was a really saved my job, and you know, obviously we gave me beneficial data that the state needed. So it was just an amazing gesture.
Just a great story, Jordy. It really gives you a faith in humanity, right?
I mean, absolutely, terrific. Absolutely.
Terrific. Thank you, Jordy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye, Alan.
Okay, let's go to Margaret in Rensselaer. Margaret, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
My cab driver was clearly not Jordy's cab driver in New York. Back in the 90s, I worked for a toy company. We had an office in Manhattan, and they sent the customer service girls to Toy Fair every year, and they invited me to go with them one year. And it was great. I mean, I'm a small-town girl. I don't go to New York. So we get to the train station, we go to the cab stand, we get in the cab, and we drive up the street to the office and hit a blind man.
Oh, my God.
He not exactly hit. We were going slow, and he was crossing the street. How can you not see the guy?
Yeah.
And he sprawled across the hood and started to push himself off, and people at the crosswalk helped him off, gave him his cane back, brushed his clothes, and everybody went on their way without another thought. And here we were, you know, from, like, Gloversville and Amsterdam. We're looking at each other with eyes as big as you can imagine. We just couldn't believe that. So that's my story.
That's a hell of a story. Thank you, Margaret.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Michelle in Windsor, Massachusetts. Hiya, Michelle.
Hi, Alan. In 1989, I was a sophomore at McGill University in Montreal.
Yep.
And I took a plane. My family lived in New York. I took a plane down to New York at Christmas, and at the airport, I caught a cab to take me to my home, and the cab driver proceeded to have this horrible meltdown in the traffic. I'm alone in the back seat, and he starts muttering to himself at first very softly and then louder and louder, "This is my blanking life. This is my blanking life." And as soon as we got out of the traffic, he starts going really fast. and I'd never been so frightened. I wasn't sure if I should, you know, make sure that he knew I was there, or make sure or make him think he was alone. I wasn't sure which was the best course of action.
Well, they always try to make up, you know, Roselle and I were down in the city in one of those Broadway fairs, and there was a T-shirt, which I have, saying, I survived a New York City cab drive. A cab ride.
And then I wasn't sure, you know, if I don't tip him enough, is he coming back?
Yeah.
It was really frightening.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a good story. Thanks a lot. It's a good blanking story. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Great. Have a great day. Right.
Let's go to PJ in Loudonville. PJ, you're on.
Hello, Alan. About 25 years ago, I took a cab from Uptown New York to Grand Central.
Right.
I had to catch a train, but I had to meet somebody first. I paid the cab driver off, and I went to buy my friend a drink, and I found my wallet was gone.
Oh, boy.
And my friend paid for the drinks, but I called my home, Collect. I was living in Troy, then I called my home in Troy, and my son, my youngest son, answered, and he said, oh, I'm glad you called. There's a Mr. Brown from Brooklyn called, and he said you left your wallet in his cab.
Wow.
And he will send it as soon as possible, but he would like you at least, please, to pay for the postage. I got in touch with this Mr. Brown, and I told him I'd be delighted to have the wallet back, of course. And I said, this is wonderful. I've heard such bad things about New York taxi drivers. And he said, look, he said, I have 5 children. What do you expect me to do? Do you think I should get a bad reputation for myself and other taxi drivers before them?
Yeah.
He wouldn't even accept a tip.
Wow. Well, PJ, that is a great story. Thank you so much, and thanks for the story. It's very impressive.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Bye. Okay.
1-800-348-2551. 2 free phones now. We'll go to Susan in Rexford. Okay, Susan, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I got an old story.
Okay.
I'm 72 now, but I was 18 when this happened.
Yep.
And I was up at the University of Wisconsin.
Yep.
Working at the University Hospital, and I had the date for the homecoming, so I...
So this is in Madison, Susan, or another one, another campus?
Madison, yeah.
Madison, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Madison.
Yeah, I love Madison. Mm-hmm.
And there I was, just the happiest, cutest little, having a great time at University of Wisconsin person with this date, and so because of the date, I never complained about the fact that my ankle hurt. Well, I walked on it all day, and I danced on it all evening, and I went back to, you know, went to bed and got up Sunday morning, and my ankle was the size of a football. Okay, so I got myself over to University Hospital, and they took care of it and gave me my crutches, and off I went back to my room. Then Monday morning, I had to go to work. I went outside my room and over to University Avenue where all the cabs and all the buses were. And there was a cab stand, and I walked up to the cab stand, and I paid for a cab to get me to up the street 3 miles to the hospital. And the cab said, a cab driver, real sweet guy, and it was the days when you shared the cab. People would get in the cab, and he'd have 4 or 5 different destinations to go to. So it was a cheap ride, it was 25 cents, but it was still, I was making $182 a month. Mm-hmm. So I got out of the cab, and the next morning he was at the cab stand again, and I waved to him, and he opened his window, and he said, come on, hop on in. I said, I really can't afford it every day. I'm going to have to walk it, or I'm going to have to take the bus. I cannot do the cab. And he says, you get in my cab right now. And he says, I'll just take you up there and drop you off. And he says, and what's more, I want to know when you're done with work, and I'll bring you home. I said, you really? Oh, that's so sweet. But you can't, I can't. He did that for like 20 days.
No kidding.
Every morning at 7:30 and every afternoon at 4:30, that old man in that cab drove me up and down University Avenue for my job.
Wow.
And would not take a cent.
Wow.
Fabulous guy.
Yeah. Susan, great story. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. Have a good one.
John in Greenville. John,
yes.
You're on.
How are you, Alan?
Good, John.
Good. I got a lot of cab stories. I drove a cab when I was in college.
But here's the thing, John. I'm sorry to do this.
I only have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had to pick up the CEO of Continental Oil in New Jersey with a limo and bring him to Rockefeller Plaza, and which I was doing. And then I had to wait for him and then take him back. On the way back, I hadn't had breakfast. And it was going on lunchtime, and we were heading over toward the Lincoln Tunnel. And I see a bread stand there, and I said, would it be okay if I just stop for a minute and get a couple of hot dogs? I haven't had breakfast, and I'm starving. And he says, no, not at all. He says, no, you can't. You can't. Only if you get me some, too. And he paid for everything.
Wow.
That was it.
It's a good move, John.
Yeah, right.
Okay, did you get any mustard on the seat?
Mustard and onions.
That's my problem.
But not on the seat. That was another story.
Yeah, that's my problem. Thanks, John. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Okay,
we'll
bye-bye.
Take a short break, and then we'll be back with Mary and Mike and Julie and whoever else calls at 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, featuring the exhibit Down to Earth, Architects Redesign the Potting Shed, six structures by local designers exploring architecture and function in the garden. BerkshireBotanical.org. Earth Angels Veterinary Hospital, Wappingers Falls, an integrative facility that combines conventional and holistic medicine for a 360-degree approach to veterinary care. EarthAngelsVet.com. Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom design, handcrafted glass and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and DonMullerGallery.com. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, and resume and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com.
And with us is the great Patrick Donges, to many of you, who is our producer of this program, and he brings us some exciting news.
Hi, Patrick. Alan. Thank you. I have a couple emails here and some Facebooks, or I should say an email and some Facebooks. Nicole on email wrote, my friend and I took an Amtrak train from Rhinecliff to Charlottesville, Virginia when we were 14. We got there and booked ourselves a little motel, which was not near anything. We called a cab to take us anywhere and ended up with a cabbie named Tommy who took us to the mall where we pierced our ears for the fourth time. He became our personal chauffeur for the next 5 days, driving us everywhere for free and basically babysitting for us. Lord knows we needed it. He took us back to the train once our adventure was over, and we never heard from him again. So that's the story of Tommy, the cabbie. Now, Tommy on Facebook wrote in and says, he wasn't the cabbie, says he lived in I lived in New York City for 30 years. Speed limit is supposed to be 35, but they all speed. I guess everybody else does, too. I rode a bike most of the time I lived in the city, and the cabs would come within inches of me, but they didn't bother me nearly as much as other drivers. Cabbies were more predictable in their driving behavior and didn't give you the attitude like some other drivers. I wonder if that's because many of them were from countries where all kinds of vehicles occupy the roads at the same time.
Interesting idea.
And finally, Kathleen on Facebook says there's so much to this story, but she'll keep it to the taxi part. My sisters were shopping in Colony Center back when it was half its size. After shopping, they were supposed to meet my husband to give him a ride home from work. They got separated. My younger sister was carrying several shopping bags, very tired, a few months pregnant, had a toddler with her, and found herself totally lost and could not find her older sister. The mall was closing, and she was being directed out by employees, so she followed them outside. She saw the sign over the parking lot, and let's say that it was the O. You know, they have the lettered sections of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So she thought it was O. So she's walking. She says, I'll walk to P. So she starts walking. She thinks she's walking to P, but then she sees it's N. So now she's going in the wrong direction. And so she sees a taxi and flags him down. She explained the situation, and he laughed, and then he figured he'd never be able to explain to his dispatcher. So he said, be quiet, and I'll get in the car. I won't charge you. So he took her around where she saw her car and their sister and Kathleen's husband and told the driver and asked where she wanted to go. And she says, take me to the car with the people. And her sister and her husband's surprise when she got out of a cab exiting the mall. It's been an amusing family story for decades.
That is a great story.
Yeah.
And thank you, Patrick.
Appreciate
it very much. Let's go to Mary in St. Johnsville. Mary, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
This goes back quite a few years because it happened on my senior trip when school seniors used to go to Washington and then New York. The fellow that I was going with at the time met me in New York, and we decided we wanted to go to the Empire State Building, so we took a cab. I had borrowed my older brother's camera. It was one of those old Kodak box cameras, you know. And anyway, we get up to the top of the Empire State Building, and I realized I had left the camera in the taxi. I said, what am I going to tell my brother? So we were sitting there, I guess, having a Coke or something, and lo and behold, here comes the cab driver with a camera.
Wow.
And I didn't think that would ever happen in this day and age, but some of the stories I've heard sound pretty similar, with cab drivers finding things that people have left in their cab and bringing it to them, and I think that's great.
Mary, you're great. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Oh, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Mike in Pittsfield. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I was fixing Yo-Yo Ma's washing machine a few years ago, and while I was working on it, I said to him, Yo-Yo, explain to me how you left your cello in the back of the cab in New York City.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't believe it. I was in a rush. I was running late. I said to the cabbie, let me out here at the corner. I'll walk the rest of the way. And as soon as I got out of the cab, I thought, oh, no.
No.
And all he saw was a sea of yellow cabs.
And it was over a million dollar thing.
Absolutely.
I remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
of course, he got it back, and I said, Yo-Yo, that's really kind of dumb to leave your livelihood behind. He says, dumbest thing I ever did. Well, the funny part of the story, Alan, is I got halfway back to Pittsfield, and I got a phone call, and my partner said, Yo-Yo Ma just called. You left your toolbox in his kitchen. He said it's a pretty dumb thing to leave your livelihood behind.
Oh, that's great. Mike, that
is old. The best part of the story was he told me he was going to James Taylor's house for a cookout that night. I said, would you bring it to him and I'll pick it up in the morning so I don't have to go all the way down?
They are best friends. I know that. Okay, Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Alan.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Great story. Let's go to Julie in upstate New York. Upstate, that's a good town. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love taxi stories. They always, you get another one, and they just get better and better. I lived in New York for 10 years, and one time, I think I was about 19 at the time, and I needed to get to Newark Airport, so I got a cab. And so, like someone else's story, as soon as this guy got out of traffic, he just loved it. He just sped up and sped up faster and faster. And we're on these, you know, elevated highways in New Jersey, just going as fast as the wind. And I was definitely, and he was chatting the entire time, and I was torn between, you know, feeling terrified and sort of, you know, enjoying the camaraderie or whatever, enjoying the conversation. And sure enough, he ended up cutting off the wrong person because he's also driving erratically.
Uh-huh.
And besides speeding. And so he cut off someone who, I guess, was an FBI agent traveling in a caravan with others.
Oh, boy.
And so this guy pulls, you know, makes him pull over, and other, you know, other unmarked vehicles all pull over and run the side of some, you know, again, an elevated highway, basically no shoulder.
Oh,
and,
boy,
you know, within seconds, the guy, my cab driver's face is plastered against the the windshield because he's down on the hood of the car being just absolutely yelled at by this guy. Who was the main FBI guy, and who then had me get in his car because it was, you know, I shouldn't get back in that that cab, that's for sure. But sure, you know, I was so young, and I'm so lucky that it all turned out fine because he kind of started to make me feel uncomfortable too. Not by driving poorly, but sort of having a sort of special interest in his voice. But sure enough, got me to the airport, and it all worked out.
Yeah. Julie, good story. And maybe they were the Secret Service, and maybe it was a presidential convoy.
God knows what. But it worked out. That's all that matters.
Thanks, Julie.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Jenny in one of my favorite towns, Copaic, New York. Okay, Jenny, you're on.
Hi. I was I had the opportunity to visit India when in 1988.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the interesting things to me there was that the taxi drivers, a lot of them actually lived in their taxis. Their taxi was also their home. They slept in it at night. And one of the experiences I remember from my trip was that when they would approach a yellow light that was turning red, instead of slowing down, people would speed up and honk the horn really loudly so that if people were coming from the other direction and the light was going to be green, they would know to wait until the people got to run the red light. But anyway, this happened a lot. It took a while for me to get used to. But one of the times we actually got in a collision, and it wasn't serious, but it was like a sort of the cars sort of touched at the front angle, you know, the front corners, and we sort of ricocheted off of each other. And then I didn't know what was going to happen, and our driver pulled over, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to, you know, something's wrong with the car, we've got to find another cab. And, you know, I was like 16 or 17 at the time. Anyway, no, he just pulled over, and he looked at the scrape that was on the side of his car, and he went into his trunk, and he pulled out a little can of paint, black paint.
Wow.
It was one of these black taxi cabs. It was like one of these black things, cabs that was like from the 60s or something, all rounded like the New York City cabs used to be. And he just took out his paintbrush, and he just painted black back onto his car. And then he just proceeded, and we went on with the rest of our ride.
You would not have seen that in Copec, would you, Jenny?
No.
Say, thank you, Jenny.
No, not at all.
Thanks,
thank you.
Great story. Okay. Great story.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go to Stuart in Monson, Massachusetts. Stuart? Stuart.
Hey, oh, sorry, Alan.
It's okay.
Hi. So, yeah, I had a little story about probably the most awkward cab experience I ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It's, I was spending about 2 years up in Maine, up at Sugarloaf Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And in my first year as a lift attendant, I was witness to a party where we had what could basically be described as a brawl between the lift department and a couple restaurant workers up in the area. So that was about a 20-person brawl, and there were all kinds of fist fighting, and cops ended up getting called. And, well, it all resolved itself, and about a day later, I was coming out of the same bar, and we were getting a taxi because it's about 20 miles in between where we lived and where the bars were. It's pretty desolate up there, and they actually have memorials by the side of the road for people who had tried to walk home at night.
Whoa.
And, you know, 20 below and all that. So we're waiting, and there's only a single taxi in the town. So the guy says, well, do you mind if I wait and see if I can pick up some extra fare? I said, no, no problem. There are about six of us. This one kid comes in, and he sits in the front of the cab, and cab driver comes in, and under the dome light, we realize it's the same kid who had been involved in an altercation with the two guys who are sitting behind him now in the second row of the van.
Anything happened?
For literally 20 minutes, there was nothing but dead silence.
Wow.
While the cab driver, who I kind of knew, attempted to initiate a conversation with pretty much every single person in the cab.
It's pretty funny. So, at least mayhem didn't break out. Stuart, I'm trying to get everybody in. Thank you for the wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Sue in Valencia. Sue in Valencia, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Not as exciting as some of these stories, but it kind of perpetuates one of the negative stereotypes of taxi drivers.
Yep.
In March, I was in Chicago at a business meeting, and I had my 21-year-old daughter fly out to meet me to spend part of the week and see Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd gone out to dinner one night and called for a cab. And fortunately, both she and I are blessed with a very good sense of direction and knew exactly where our hotel was. And he made three different attempts to head in the opposite direction, and we stopped him both times. And when he realized we knew where we were going, he turned off the meter and brought us to our front door.
Why do you think he did that?
Well, I at the time I was thinking, you know, we looked like tourists. He knew we were from out of town. I think he was going to see how far
I mean, why did he turn off the meter? Probably because
I think he realized we knew exactly where we were going.
And he was caught.
Couldn't get anywhere.
And he was caught.
Yeah, that he was caught, that he just couldn't even begin. And at that point, it was I'm sure, more mileage than it would have been to gone directly to our hotel.
Yeah,
he knew that we had him.
Sue from Valencia, thanks for the call. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to Judith in Saratoga. Judith, you're on.
Hi. I had a cab drive from Nyack to Kennedy Airport once that was the shortest ride in my life. It was better than any moth tale you've ever heard. Mm. This guy was very very good raconteur, and he was chatting, and I was trying to parse his accent, and it turned out that he was from Czechoslovakia. And he went on to tell me how he had come over here. He was now a student in connected with computers in some way, going to college, driving this cab, but he had been in prison in Czechoslovakia. They would not let anybody out, no visas, no nothing, and he tried to get out on a train. He hid in that top part where the light is, yeah. And he got caught, and he got thrown in jail for 2 years, and they fed them only pasta, and they sprinkled it with gasoline, just to be ornery. And most of his colleagues died, but he remembered his grandmother used gas in a milder form to cure worms. Oh. As awful as that sounds. So he used his water supply and rinsed the macaroni or whatever the pasta was off, and he didn't die, and he survived. I mean, talk about human spirit. And I told him I would write his story up in a minute. I write, and I would have loved to have sat at his feet.
Well, how did he get out?
He did his 2 years. They let him out.
It's the oldest story in the world, Judith. He ran out of gas. Hey.
Yes.
Thanks, Judith.
Only you would take that spin. Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Judith. Right. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jerry in Lee. Jerry in Lee, you're on.
Hi, Alan. My story goes back to the 50s when, as a teenager, my sister and I dressed like all of the teenagers. We went out coming from a function at Fordham University,
yep.
To Mount Vernon, New York. And we had multiple crinolines. And
This is Fordham uptown, right? Not Fordham at Lincoln Center. Fordham in
Fordham in the Bronx.
In the Bronx, of course, yeah. Go ahead.
In the Bronx. So we're coming home in a cab,
yep.
Up to Mount Vernon where we lived. And we had been all dressed up with heels and stockings. Yep. I don't even remember what we did, but the taxi cab all of a sudden started having car trouble. He had car trouble, and he pulled off on the Bronxwood Parkway, which you may know is pretty dark at night. And he pulls up on the grass to get out of the traffic. And it happened to be that he got out to look under the hood, and he did not put the emergency brake on.
Oh, no.
And the car started rolling backwards into the Bronx River Parkway.
Oh.
And I jumped over I was a brand new driver. I jumped over the front seat, stopped the car. Well, he's running down. He catches up with the car and is, oh my God, he's so flustered. Thank you so much for you could have been hurt, blah, blah, blah. And he drives us home to Mount Vernon. And it wasn't until we got home that I realized that I had not only jumped over the front seat, all dressed up in this skirt, but I had also climbed over the back of the chair instead of going out the door. And I'll never forget being so embarrassed because I had all these crinolines and stockings and all that.
Yeah.
To this day, I think it's pretty funny.
It is. It's a story you'll never forget. Hey, Jerry, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very, very quickly, Maeve. Maeve from Saugerties. Maeve, we've only got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, this is more a story about my stupidity. When I was 16, I took a bus to Washington, D.C. If you know, the bus station is not in the best neighborhood in D.C.
Uh-huh.
It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was very, like, disoriented, trying to catch a taxi. This guy, like, waved me over. He's like, I have the taxi, and he had a French accent. And it was an unmarked car. And I got in the car with him, and I had a conversation with him in French the entire way, and instead of killing me, he brought me to my destination.
That's a good story. Always when it ends up that way, Maeve. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay. Listen, everybody, we're out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in. Support for the Box Pop comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Pure Photography, pictorial and modern photographs from Syracuse University Art Collection, now through July 20th, arkellmuseum.org, the Glens Falls Hospital, serving 6 counties in the Southern Adirondacks in 28 locations, Big City Medicine, Hometown Care, Twitter, Facebook, and glensfallshospital.org, and the Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment, berkshire.coop. And Wewaka, Lake George, New York, an enrichment and revitalization historic lakefront retreat created by and for women since 1903, WIAWAKA.org for events. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on today's Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer is and has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Shartok. And please, while I have a minute just to talk to you all, if you love the Vox Pop and you love WAMC, and I know you do because I meet you all the time and you tell me about it, now's the time to go to WAMC.org and put something in the lockbox. You can call here if you want to, but WAMC.org, just click on Pledge Now. We really do need you, and we're really doing very well, over $85,000 as of today. We can do this. We can all do it together if we all just pay attention to what we're doing and recognize what it is we use and what we like. If you can do something to help WAMC, WAMC.org. It's Alan. I'm asking you to do it. We're getting very close to being able to meet this record. Everybody onto the page at WAMC.org and just click on Pledge Now, and we'll love you forever.